Our subject matter over the last couple of weeks has been on this rascal, Satan. And I want to continue that today. Our subject will be Satan's two lies. Now, he's told more than two lies, but we're looking at two lies of Satan today. Every student of Scripture who has even the smallest acquaintance with the structures and God's plan knows how fully the book of Genesis finds its complement in the book of Revelation. We've studied this often in the past. It is an amazing feature found only in God's Word. There are no other writings like it in all of literature. And just as a brief reminder, and maybe for those who maybe have not looked at this, as an example. In Genesis, there's the book of beginning. We find in the book of Revelation the end. There in Genesis, the earth is created. In Revelation, the earth passed away. In Genesis, Satan's first rebellion. Revelation, Satan's last rebellion. In Genesis, the sun, moon, and the stars is put there for government. In Revelation, the sun, moon, and stars is for judgment. In Genesis, the sun is there to govern the day. But in Revelation, no need of sun. Genesis, darkness is called night. In Revelation, no night. There in Genesis, we find the entrance of sin, which we've studied some here in the last couple of weeks. In Revelation, no more sin. Curse of death is brought to us in Genesis. But in Revelation, there's no more death. There in Genesis, man is driven out of Eden. But there in Revelation, man is restored back into a garden in Eden. There in Genesis, we find the entrance of sorrow and suffering. But in Revelation, we find eventually no more sorrow or suffering. There in Genesis is a tree of life. It's guarded so that man can't get to it. But there in Revelation, the right to the tree of life is restored. Genesis, the doom of Satan pronounced. In Revelation, the doom is executed. This goes on and on and on. There's about a dozen things that I mentioned there. There's at least two dozen or three dozen more of that same type of thing. And it's called recall. It's a structure. It goes from Genesis to Revelation, and then it goes from Exodus to Jude. And we find all of these subject matter in between in this structure that's written. For further study, you can find additional information on this if you have an appendix, a companion Bible in Appendix 3, and also in Appendix 198, if you have a companion Bible. It's an interesting study just to look at the phenomena that exist with regard to this structure in Scripture. Runs throughout. And it's invaluable to a good understanding of the whole. The more I look at it, the more I can say with the Apostle Paul, he said, "Oh, the depth of riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him? For of him and through him are all things." So we look at a magnificent piece of word here that we look at from Sunday to Sunday. Today I want to look at two things that are spoken of with regard to that which we find in Genesis, being one, the first death, and then later on in the book of Revelation, we find the second death. So we're going to be looking at these two different lies with regard to death that Satan has forced upon man, beginning with Eve. When we read Genesis 3, we have revealed to us the liar and his methods. Turn, if you will, then to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And there we find that Satan meddled with the word of God relative to death. In verse 1, chapter 3, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And notice, question mark. He's putting, what is he doing? He's spreading doubt. He's saying, what? You can't eat of every tree of the garden? What? Why not? What is God trying to withhold from you? Eve says then, in verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And so Satan's response then is in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, the first thing, as I said, was for Satan to place doubt in the mind of Eve. But here, in other places, for you and me, he uses merit arguments about the love of God that are not genuine because they're truth out of place. We've talked about truth out of place. If you don't find truth commensurate with every other place of that truth in Scripture, then you have it out of place. And you can prove about anything in the Scripture because you can find something with regard to what you're thinking about and use it. And this is what Satan does. He even tempted Christ with his own truth. Things like the nature of sin. It's not that bad. It's okay. God will forgive you. Things like the sovereignty of God. You can be just like God and know everything and be like God, as though God is holding something back from you, that he will not give you everything that is of good. Also, the idea that unless all are saved, God has failed. If not all persons or people are saved, God has failed. As if salvation of all must of necessity be the purpose of the ages. And that's not true. When he has sufficiently played upon Eve and those that are ignorant of Scripture, he brings forth his second line of attack. Ye shall not surely die, by bluntly denying the completeness of the revelation concerning death that is written to the Corinthians concerning death brought by Adam. I want to look at that, if you will. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some of you might wonder, well, why don't you have Tim read some of these? Well, the reason is it's all good stuff. And the more we look at it, the better it is. And so Tim selects, and he makes good selections. And you can be educated by whatever you read in Scripture. So here we're looking at death. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain? Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, that every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. What Scripture says concerning the wheat, and you can remember what we read and studied in the parable in Matthew 13 about the wheat and the tares. What Scripture says about the wheat, Satan is trying to apply to the tares. Consequently, Eve was deceived, and today she has many followers. She thought that Cain, whom was the wicked one, was the man Jehovah. As today, multitudes are being prepared to receive the man of sin, Antichrist, as the true Christ. Even many who are said to be Christians will be deceived by this Satan Antichrist. Why? Because they don't know the Word. That's why we're studying it, to learn. It is no surprise, then, that Satan has done with the first death what he has done with the first death. He has also done with the second death that's mentioned there in Revelation. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. This is not easy stuff, but you have to dig into it. You have to deal with it. Otherwise, what happens? Doubt. And that's one of Satan's tools he uses to pry into your life with doubt. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. This lake of fire is called the second death, and it is so complete in its power, its destructive power, that when death and the grave are cast into it, they shall be no more. I can't totally comprehend that. How can death be destroyed to never be no more? The grave, I can understand. Those that were in the grave and never resurrected out, their bodies and so forth, are going to be totally destroyed. But no other part of Scripture describes the judgment of this great white throne. All we know about it, or the great white throne judgment, is revealed here. Inferences and deductions from other Scripture may be true or may be false. But we are solemnly warned in Revelation over a couple of chapters against either adding or taking away from the words of God in this written book. Had it not been for the fact of resurrection, the first death would have been total and complete destruction. Because as we read, if the dead rise not, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. What is true then of the first death is true also of the second death. Apart from resurrection, the second death, with its brimstone and fire, must be utter destruction. However, in spite of all the positive testimony to the contrary, comes the teaching today, Satan again, spreading doubt with what is called universal salvation. It is truly a part of what we see today, the cancel culture. They are in trying to cancel death. It is taught those whose names are not found in the book of life, who are cast into the lake of fire, the second death, will ultimately emerge refined and the redeemed of the Lord. This is, of course, from none other than the liar of Genesis 3, who is again employing methods once so terribly effective in the garden in Eden. Universal salvation. So Satan continues to spread the lies of deceit, resistance, and untruth. This doctrine of universal reconciliation that is preached concerning the second and the first death are from those that have been duped by Satan and who are novice in the Scripture. The seed of the wicked one set forth under the types of Cain, giants, the Canaanites, and the tares sum up in this last scriptures that we looked at, the statement whose names were not in the book of life. So I have a postscript or a caution there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. The caution that I would point out is this. There, you notice it says books, that being plural. So we know then that there's more than one. There's not just one book. But these books are all referred to for life. And they are all for life, but not all are for reward. Thus we read here of works and not grace in this 12th there at the end, out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So we can find then that some of the books that are opened in the Bema judgment, which is before the great white throne judgment, are books that have to do not only with life, but with reward. And then here again in Revelation, we find books again that are, some are for reward, and they all represent life. So this is something that we need to take a further look at. It takes a lot of effort and time and study. It's something that I want to get to eventually. We've touched on it briefly here and there, but you can be sure that Satan has been in the midst of this, and the resurrection that we looked at there in the Corinthians refers to both this first death, our physical death, and it refers to this resurrection here in the book of Revelation with regard to death and hell being destroyed completely and totally. So going forward, I want to go from here in the next few Sundays and take a look at these books of life and what the Word has to say about that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the written Word. We're grateful for the understanding that we can have. Pray for each one here that you may give us open hearts and open minds, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you and of your Word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.